Welcome back to another From the Stash podcast. And I'm your host, James Davis McAllister. And I want to thank McAlpine Meadery for sponsoring this episode. And today I have a very special guest. This is actually first episode of season two, I guess you would call it. I took a 6-month break to tour, blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares. Monica, is it Strutt?
Sure is.
How do you say your last name?
Strutt.
Strutt. Okay. I just want to make sure. You never know. Monica Strutt from the band The Last Martyr out of Melbourne, if I'm correct.
Yeah, but you have to pronounce it like an Australian and call it Melben.
Melben?
Is not at all how it's spelled, but you know, you got to put the Aussie accent.
Melben. I live in Melben.
Good job.
So it was kind of, I'll tell the story of how I even found out about you. You're in my suggested friends, and your picture is you with, a microphone in a show. And it was just so happened that the guest I was supposed to have had flaked on me. And it was really weird because it was right around that time. And I was it said one mutual friend. And I'm like, one mutual friend, huh? They must be like far away or in a bigger band. So I click and I was like, I did some research and some studying. And I'm like, oh, and she runs her own music marketing business or music marketing. She's a business coach as well. That she would be a very interesting guest. So I was like, well, here you go. She might think I'm a freak. I'm going to add her. And then I immediately messaged you, like, I think within like 10 minutes of you accepting my friend request. And I mean, I kind of got straight to the point, you know, and that's how we're here today. And forgive me if I sound nervous or seem nervous. I kind of am. I won't lie. Normally I'm not, but it's been a long time. And it's been a super stressful time. But welcome to the show. I appreciate you taking the time, getting up early in the morning, you know, 35 there.
It's my pleasure. That's so crazy. And it's so interesting to hear that. I love hearing how people like find out about me. And I love that you found me through your personal Facebook, because I think like personal Facebook pages for bands and anyone who wants to build like a profile online are the most underutilized resource ever. So it's really, really cool that you found me.
Yeah, it's funny because I have a company page, Heart Haven Entertainment, and I forget to use it because my personal page is what gets the engagement and interaction, you know. But the artists I manage, you know, it's a little bit different, you know, because there's time put into it and money, and that's how it has to go. But for me personally, like, people are always like, how do I get a hold of you? How do I get a hold of you? You know, and I'm like, Facebook, you know. And I'm really glad that, you know, like just social media in general, especially Facebook, because it makes it so easily accessible. Like, if you listen to my last season, I have Andy Bain from Danger Kids, Andy Atkins from The Plea for Purging, Cody Manson, and these people I wouldn't have got hadn't, you know, just randomly That's messaged. So cool.
Yeah. Because I think the thing is as well, like, even before I heard your podcast, which I've listened to now, but, you know, when you messaged me, the first thing that you do when you get, you know, someone reaching out like that is you go stalk their Facebook page, because we live in a time where you really can't hide who you are online anymore. And it's like, if you're someone who doesn't have their own photo as your profile picture, or
and
if
I you're didn't.
Someone, yeah, you didn't, but you had like your places of work and, you know, in your about section, like I could check that out and see.
Own number, you know, actually.
Oh, really? I didn't see that, probably because I'm, you know, a millennial and afraid of phone calls, but it's like, that's the thing, you know, you got to stalk people's Facebook page and make sure they're legit. And it's like, it's so easy to, it's not easy to hide anymore.
No. And I learned something from a mentor of mine, and his email was like his full name. And I was like, why do you do that? You know? And he's like, because I want people to know who I am. I don't want to hide anything. I want to immediately, when I make an interaction, email somebody, they know my full name. And so that's why James Davis McAllister, that's why I go by it. It rolls off the tongue anyways, but ever since then, I've just gone by that. And it's funny because my picture was a picture of Shout Out the Flames. The video comes out tomorrow, Flames of God, his video for So Close. It's just a picture of the thumbnail for that. And I didn't even think about that. You know, that's a really good point. I shouldn't message people when I don't have my, you know, but you can go and look and I have thousands of pictures of myself, you know, literally.
Yeah. I went through your profile pics just to make sure you were a real person.
You could see my hair grow. You see my hair grow.
I was like, oh yeah, that explains the mustache.
So I shouldn't ask this because you're a woman, but there comes a train. But how old are you?
I'm 32.
You're 1 year younger than me. No, I would have never guessed that in a million years. I would have said like 25, maybe 26.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good. I mean, I shouldn't even say that's good because I don't know. Age is such a weird thing. There was definitely, and I'm still struggling with it now. Like there's definitely as a woman, like, this, you know, how the entertainment industry glorifies youth and everything. Yeah. And one of my biggest fears when I was like a teenager or when I was in my early 20s is that I would still be like, quote unquote, trying to make it in my early 30s. And here I am, like, and my band
here
is,
I am.
Yeah, my band is too. Like big. Yeah, my band is like bigger than it's like, this is the most successful project I've been in. Plus I work full time in the music industry and I'm so glad that I didn't give up at 25 when I thought I would. So I want to be like fully, even though it's like scary to tell people my age still, because I know that there is ageism, I still want to be like as transparent about it as possible just for like other people who maybe have those fears. I don't know. Did you like, not to be the interviewer, but like, I'm curious, did you like, why did you ask that?
Yes. Absolutely. Long story short, I mean, I dropped out of high school to tour with the band and it didn't end. It didn't end there. I just kept going and going and going. And, I write about the age of, oh, I don't even know the age of probably about 7 years ago. So see, I'm 33. I'll be 34 September 10th. So like, I don't know. I was like 26-ish, 27-ish. I kind of hung it up proverbially and I started booking shows more because the same thing you're thinking, even though 27 is about prime for a musician, I'm thinking in my head because I know, I mean, I've been in the industry and I've had, you know, labels approach me before, you know, and they want to know how old you are, how many kids you got, et cetera, et cetera. And it's even worse for a girl. So you have a point there. In fact, I met one today that she's 30 and she's beautiful. And she became a musician because she couldn't be a model anymore because she turned 30. And so I think it's good that you talk. I think more women should talk about it like that because it's the stigma and forgive me. I don't know if you know the terminology of boomer. It's the boomer thought process that, oh, well, once you reach this age, then your beauty is, you know, gone or whatever. There's always been the younger, especially in females. It's always been the, you know, younger beauty and stuff and almost, sickening way. But for me, long story short, for me, yes, I got around 30, about around 27 ish. And I was like, you know what I mean? Like I had been there, I was in a band, Oceans of Atrophy. We were doing really, really well. It was the best band I had had. And it just fell apart. And right now is the most successful I've ever been in the music scene. Like this podcast I made because COVID hit and I was booking full time and it kind of just took off. And I was like, what the hell, you know, cause I didn't know what I was doing. I literally just like I'm doing now. And that's why I told my wife, I was like, babe, I need to get like better equipment. You know, like if I'm really, really going to, I'm literally using my phone with a pair of headphones, you know, with a microphone in it. And it's people, I've had a couple complaints and in fact, I have deleted episodes, but I've learned what to do with minimally what I have because, you know, doing what I do, it's not like I make a shit ton of money. Right. You know, and I'm not going to invest a lot of money into this. And I may now, but back to your point. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm not gonna be able to make it into music anymore. I'm too old. You know, I mean, I got gray hair, you know, gray beard, you know, gray starting to come into my beard. You know, I can't hide that anymore. You know, I can't look like that little, you know, 21-year-old wearing the girl jeans and, you know, impressing the teenagers anymore, which is what a label or what any type of, you know, manager wants. And so here I am and I started my own management company and now I'm transitioning out of booking completely. And I just want to
manage
artist development. And here I am. And I'm more popular now. I actually started a new band, but it's nothing serious. And I told the guys, cause I actually handpicked these guys, which is the first time I've ever been able to do that. I told them, I was like, you watch what happens. goals with this. I was like, we're gonna get going, and we're gonna have an option of, well, we could actually do this for a living, which I won't. But because here I am doing this, and to be honest, man, I enjoy helping other people more than just myself, you know, because I can, if I can help out 10 people and not just one like myself, then to me, I'm leaving the scene a better place, you know?
Yeah,
So yeah. So
absolutely.
long story short, rambling the fuck on like I always do. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think age is huge when it comes to the entertainment business. And, you know, I don't look super old, but I look old enough, you know? And
Yeah.
I feel sorry for women, you know, and I'm gonna let you talk here. I want to say something. I've yet to have a woman interview. And it wasn't by design or anything like that, but you know, it's funny because right now my next three interviews are all females. And I noticed that a lot of podcasts don't, you know, there's very little press and media, unless it's, you know, Hayley Williams from Paramore or something like that. There's no love for the underground or the ones that are coming up. And I don't understand why.
Well, it's really interesting that you mentioned that because I had an experience recently with someone that approached us to book us and manage us. And I got talking to them at a show and they were like, oh, it's really cool to see there's heaps of women like coming up now in the industry. And I was like, well, we've always been here. So why do
Yes.
you think you're just noticing now? And he's like, oh, well, you know, like they've been doing it long enough that they can actually like play their instruments. And I was
Oh
like,
my God.
that is
Oof.
just the most blanket, absurd
Ugh.
perspective that I've ever heard. Needless to say, we didn't go with them. And this is like a well-known person in the Australian scene. And they were trying to make it a compliment. And I was like, dude, like, you think the only reason why there hasn't been more women in music is because like before we weren't good, like, and now all of a sudden, like, I've been doing this for like 17 years now since I was 15 years old. Now all of a sudden, like, we're good, right? And it's like interesting that you mentioned Paramore because I had a very like terrible disdain for that band for so long for no other reason than all my old bands used to get compared to them, and I hate pop punk. Like, I really don't like that
Oh, I
genre.
would not compare you to that at all.
I know, right? So I had this band like called Vanity Riots for like 6 years, and we like toured
Yeah.
overseas and we did some like really cool stuff, but like we hit this glass ceiling. And the reason I believe was, I mean, we had a lot to learn on the business side. Like, let's not pretend about that. Like, we could have
I learn every
done.
day still.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But like part of it is and the feedback we're getting is like people didn't know what to do with us because we sounded very similar to Avenged Sevenfold. Like, that was what we sounded like if I had to compare us to anything. Like, we're a hard rock metal band that sung like melodic mostly in a time where the heavier you could be, the more renowned you were in the local scene here. So it was like, how low can you tune? How many breakdowns can you put in your songs? Like, yeah, it was just like that time. And the only women I had to look up to at that time were like people like Hayley Williams, who are great at what they do, but that I just never
I
resonated with
mean,
that. But yeah.
let's be honest. She's manufactured, and bless her, she's a good singer and everything. And they were good, like when they first started. But any band that gets signed, especially someone like them, you know, I mean, look at Avenged Sevenfold, look at Ask Alexandria. You know, they're designed. You know, it's like a manufactured a product per se, which is what how it goes, anyways. Look now though, Spirit Box. I mean, in this moment, I mean, I could go on and on if I really wanted to. They're some of the top bands right now.
Yeah,
How
absolutely.
does that
And
make you feel?
I mean, it's really cool. And what I would say to like anyone else who's worried about their age is like, I've had the pleasure of speaking to Courtney and having like conversations with her numerous times, like through my podcast and other interviews. And we had a singing lesson as well last year, which was really, really cool, where we ended up chatting for like 2 hours afterwards. And she's the same age as me. And also, Ash Costello from New Year's Day. We've got Mixie from Stitched Up Heart, the Butcher Babies. You know, they're all in their mid to late 30s. And, you know, it's same in Australia as well. Like Drown This City, Alex from Drown This City is the same age as me. And all the women that are coming up in the music scene are all in their early 30s to, you know, and the bands that are slightly ahead of, say, where my band is at are all in their like mid to late 30s. And the reason is because the music industry has been so, there's been so many gatekeepers in the music industry since the MySpace days, right? And MySpace was kind of the beginning of it all, of taking your career into your own hands. But we still had record labels at that point who were consciously or subconsciously not seeing like women as equal in the music scene or others or non-binary or members of the LGBT like QIA plus community and whatnot. And like there's a reason, like there are social like I hate talking about this in some ways because I'm like I just want to
it's
talk
just
about
true
the music,
though
but it's just so
but
important.
It's true, like, and I think people that should listen to it, I won't lie to you, my demographic is 77% male.
Oh,
okay,
same,
and
same.
Me, I'm a businessman, right? So, like, in my eyes, I'm thinking, okay, this, you know, I should go for females for multiple reasons. I'm a mama's boy. I got a daughter. I live with three women, right? And
yeah,
I've always been. I'm a nurturer. You know, I'm always the band dad. You know, like I'm a nurturer. So it doesn't bother me. But I lost my train of thought. To be honest with you,
Sorry, you go.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. No, you go.
Oh, no,
I totally forgot what
I
was going to say.
I was just going to say gender is so bullshit anyway, because I love the fact that you were just like, I'm a nurturer. So like that brings to mind my boyfriend who he's actually studying sexology, which like studies like gender and stuff like that. And he's training to be like a psychotherapist that specializes in like sexual health and everything. So he is very much like his personality. He's very much a nurturer as well. He was raised by women, like a single mom and his grandma. Whereas conversely, I was raised by also a single mom who was like very masculine. Like she had me out in the backyard, like hammering nails into wood. I have a very, very masculine like personality. Like I will literally like make dick jokes with the boys. Like that's, I mean, and it's like cultural as well, because I've been in bands with boys my whole life, but like, it's so funny because I would say that he's although he is like masculine, like
he's more feminine than you.
Yeah, like he's so.
I'm more feminine than my fiance, honestly.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and so it just makes me think like gender is just so like it's just it's not even. I understand why people say that gender is a construct, like because of those reasons. So I just love the fact that you mentioned that.
Well, like I believe in the fact that, you know, girls can do anything, boys can do it except for when it comes to point to like, in like football, right? Here, American football. I mean, let's be honest here, unless you're like, I mean, cause those dudes are jacked. I mean, it's just natural that men are bigger than women. You know, that's just how it goes. But, and everything else, like, yes, athletes and sports, it's pretty tough, you know, and maybe tennis, things like that. And that's just a fact. I'm not being misogynist or anything like that. That's just a fact. But like when it comes to, you know, I used to have a fucking huge gripe over women vocalists. I could not fucking stand them. Like screamers. Like I remember the only one I liked was OTEP, but who in this moment, and I still don't like him. I still can't stand her because she gives to me, and I don't care who hears this. She just gives off the wrong image to me. Like,
well, you just don't vibe. Like, if you don't vibe with like someone as an artist, like that's fine. But it's like it's not really
disgusting.
Anything to do with the gender.
Well, no, it has to do with her. This is my problem with her. It's the hypocrisy, right? It's like the will treat me, you know, this and this and this happened to me in my lyrics, but I'm on stage doing this to myself, or I'm, you know, it's like, come on, dude. Like, okay, so I don't understand it. I'm not a woman, so I back off, you know, and I don't. It's actually my wife's favorite band. And I just, you know, and I don't dog them to her, you know, I'm just saying this on here. I may have said it before. I don't like it. But, you know, there was a band called I Wrestled a Bear Once. Oh God, you know, and still to this day, but now hear me out. There's bands like Spirit Box, God is on the tip of my tongue. There were a couple in the back in the day too. What's that one band that they're huge? They're like huge. They're like the Ginger. She is a beast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Arch enemy. Like, arch enemy. That girl can scream better because I'm a very, very good screamer and I sing as well, but like my screaming, everybody was just, Jesus, you know? And she's, you know, so now like as I've grown and matured, you know, like I'm sitting there bumping your afterglow, you know, because first of all, it's different. Second of all, you're good. And I mean, do you scream in that or is that a backup screamer? Is that like a guitarist or something? And that
Nah,
part
that's
when you're
me.
rapping, that's you?
Yeah,
That's
it's all
it's
me.
so different. For anybody who's listening, check out the song Afterglow first before you listen to anything else. I promise you, it almost gives off this. When that happened, I'm like, oh my God, it's like an inner Shikari. Have you ever heard of them?
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, it's
wow.
you remind me a lot. Like it's like inner Shikari meets shit, because it has like a metalcore feel, but it's I call it that because that's just a generalized term, but it's not that. I can't describe it. It's very different. You're very, very different. Like I won't lie to you, the first song I pulled up, I'm like, I don't know. And I listened to another one, I'm like, okay. And then I heard Afterglow and I'm like, this is her latest stuff too. Like, so and again, that's no offense to you. It just shows your growth, you know, because that song is on my playlist now, you know. And I hope and I pray that that's the direction you're going, because I enjoy that. But you know, it almost has an Amir feel too, you know, in that part, you know, because it's you know, what's the line? Your man's a con. What is that? What's that line right there?
It's like, have you seen my friend? She's an icon. I've seen your friend. He's an ex-con.
Yes. And you can't hear your accent until like you start doing that. And it reminds me so much of Rue, even though he's English, from Inner Shikari, because you know how he does that a lot, especially in their older stuff, you know.
Yeah,
I will
speaking
ask,
of the
I will.
MySpace days.
Oh my gosh, right? That was the very first band I found in 2004. I found the song Enterprise, or Return to Energizer. I'm sorry, Return to Energizer. And I'll never forget it. It changed my life. Yeah, still to this day, I listen to them. In fact, I played with them here in the States. And yeah, I have episodes I deleted that I'm going to put back up that are about MySpace and how MySpace was the most revolutionary thing to ever happen to music. Ever, ever, ever. The Beatles, everything. MySpace. You know what I mean? We wouldn't be here right now if it weren't for MySpace. Let's be honest.
Oh no. Yeah,
All the
absolutely.
connections, and stuff that were made, you were able to. And correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll let you talk. Do you think that that's what started to break down that sexual construct of women and men and stuff? Because women then were able to do it themselves. They didn't need a booking agent. They didn't need a label. You know? Do you think that that was the start of it? MySpace.
I don't know if, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know if MySpace like was gender specific in that way, but like for I think for everyone, it really just put the power back in our own hands in terms of music. And we all know, like, whoever was around like knows how instrumental MySpace was in breaking bands. And it's like it's like how bad do you want to work? Like how can you
Yeah.
hustle and use this platform and like add as many friends as possible to
How I was able to tour.
And like the bands that I was in at the time like weren't big enough to really utilize that platform. Like we yeah like my space kind of started dying out like just when I got out of high school, I think. Yeah, just when I was in music college. And yeah, and then by the time I got into a band that was like I could really do something, Facebook was already in place. So, but yeah, like I definitely discovered a lot of bands through there. And it was kind of this. I remember being in high school and looking up all the local bands and like seeing what members were like were in the top eight. And yeah, just like checking out the songs and decking out your own profile and really using that as do you know, and that's where Monica Strutt comes from. Like that's not my real name, speaking of identities online. So my Monica Strutt, that was a fully like that is my stage name, and that was from the MySpace days. And it's kind of like this alternative persona that I created
I had one
from
too. That's funny.
I think everyone did. But like it was kind of this alternative persona that I created, and I have this like new course coming out called Step Into the Spotlight, and it's about like really stepping up and being kind of a leader and like putting yourself out there. And one of the things that I put into the course was creating that alter ego and asking yourself, what would they do? What would the most confident version of yourself do? And I think that that's why I've held on to the name, aside from the fact now my business is registered under that name and it's kind of like gone too far that I can't go back.
Right.
But
Well,
it's
I think that's
like,
better for a woman anyways. I think honestly, in this day and age, it's better for a woman almost like, and don't take it the wrong way at all, please. You know, in fact, there's this lady that I run a page called the Ohio Music Scene, and a lot of people come there to find help, whatever it may be. And she's coming up from Cincinnati to Cleveland, which is across state. And I hooked her up with a show. She's gonna be on my podcast, hooked her up with my buddy's podcast, and I told her to be very, very careful up here, please, because it's just, I mean, the world is a very, very scary place. And I don't know what it's like in Australia, but here in our urban, like, cities, or not even urban cities, I mean, shit, even in smaller cities, a woman, because she's pretty, let's be honest here, coming here from somewhere else, she's a rapper too, so coming here and putting on a persona of, because it's not, she puts on a persona, and she has a stage, presence, and I told her, just be very careful who you mess with. And I don't even mean it in a way she's going to get hurt or whatever. I just mean being taken advantage of, because a guy sees a pretty girl, and then they're a promoter or whatever they may be, they're gonna, they may, I mean, I've seen it happen. I've seen them being taken advantage of. Hold on just a second. I got a cat knocking on a door. It's, and maybe I'm being overprotective, but after this last, I was on a tour here recently, and I predominantly just do hip hop now, management wise and stuff like that, and we had an incident, and I just, ever since then, I've just, and that's my problem. I'm a worrywart. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny. I'll tell my artists, like, if they're going out or something like that, I'll be like, well, make sure you're, home by this, and protect your throat, and don't be wearing your chains, to the club, and things like that, because I truly, I truly worry, about the scene. And I don't know if you see my post, but I had strictly said that because I have a lot of hate. I have a lot of people that do not like me for whatever reason. Maybe it's because I'm very blunt and honest. I don't know. I don't, it's not that I talk shit about people, because I don't, and I won't. Back now, I run a business. I can't. Actually, me, but close to me, that is literally ruined everything about me. And so I, that day, I got in that day, and I wanted to make it clear. I don't respond to these stuff. Like, so I made a post, and I said, listen, I want to make it very, very clear. I don't care who's what to me or whatever matter. I'm here just, the scene comes first, and then the artist comes second. Because this is my saying, and I'm not even going to go any more on this, because it just angers me. My saying is, it takes a village to raise a child, they say. Well, it takes a scene to raise a band, an artist. And that's why I always say the scene is more important than the artist. People are like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, if there's no scene, then there's no artist. And with this whole COVID thing, which actually I want to ask you about, you have a show September 4th, right?
That got canceled.
That's what I was going to say. Did it get canceled? See, here, I'll just say it this way, because I don't want to offend anybody yet in the first episode, but we don't play that shit. And I have yet to stop. I've been booking. A lot of the local places here, they're like, no, we're not shutting down, Now the bigger places that are ran by Live Nation, they don't have a choice. And it's ruined our scene. I mean, there's like nothing left, essentially. And they're coming back now. And then now we're talking about shutting down again. So how does that, like, make you feel? Like, do you feel like it's just, do you feel like it's ever gonna come back?
Well, I mean, it will come back next year now that our vaccine rollout is happening. So it's all good. Like we have that to look forward to. But
Ours
yeah,
has two though, like ours had two, and now there's a variant, and now they're doing a third shot, and it's like, oh, again, I won't get into it, but it's like, come on. Okay, come on, guys. When is this gonna stop? And I actually have an episode about all this, and it's to a point where, somebody made a really good point. They're like, okay, well, okay, so it is bad at this center. Well, you're gonna live in your house the rest of your life if it's they're acting like it's a bubonic plague, And I'm a big, big, big doubter of my government. I don't know how the Australian government is, but I know that, we're it's this is the worst. I'll say it right now. It's one of the worst countries in the world, and people look at me when I say that, and I'm like, no, seriously, it is. Come live here, and you'll find out. And they control a lot of what happens, and that's ultimately like why I want to step out of booking now, because I can't handle this. Now you have some of the venues you have to have a vaccine to get into, and it's just to a point where it's like, is this China or is this the United States? Which I have no problem with China. I just want to make it clear, they say this is a free country and stuff, and it's gotten so bad that, I mean, there's hardly any bands left. There's a lot of rappers, but I'm serious. I can't even name five bands off the top of my head within like a 50-mile radius.
Yeah, I think
Which.
the main difference about how Australia and America have handled things, because obviously we get world news and America is such a huge influence on the Western world, so we're pretty in touch with what you guys are going through, and it's just devastating how many people have like how many people the government's allowed to contract COVID and how fast it spread. So basically, I mean, our measures are pretty extreme. I'm not gonna lie. It's been pretty hard to be locked down in our house. I mean, one person visited my local grocery store with COVID the other day, and automatically we all got text messages. Anyone that had been there the same day, we had to quarantine. Can't leave our house for any reason, no reason at all. If you need gross, but the thing is, we have support systems here. So if you need groceries, the government will deliver you groceries. We had compensation. The government gave employers, $750 a week to keep their employees on, even if the
Jesus.
business was closed. So we had the right support systems in place to be able to have the strictest lockdowns in the world. Now, as I said, it wasn't easy. Mental health has suffered a lot, but at the same time,
I
our
hear that.
government also subsidizes going to see a therapist and stuff. So they'll give you half your money back if you go to therapy. We also have free therapy available. So the resources are there to support us, but it's
Right.
still hard. And we
Right.
look at America where the vaccine rolled out almost a year ago, and we're like, our government fucked up and didn't get enough vaccines, and we're still locked down and still suffering in this pandemic. So
Well, you're
that was the
lucky.
biggest thing.
Well, they recalled one because it was giving people heart problems, heart attacks. People were dying. The Johnson and
Yeah.
Johnson one. And I'm like, okay, I'll just say this because again, I won't get into it. This is the first time in the history of the world that there's been more than one company making vaccines. There's three different companies now. This is also the first time you've had to get more than one shot for, anything like this, like a vaccine or meningitis, flu, whatever. It's now up to three. Now they're talking three. And our government thrives on our pharmaceuticals. Like
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
here is addicted to fucking something. Everybody, fucking everybody, like including myself. Like I take Kratom, natural. It's a natural. It's a leaf. It's the vein of a leaf from. It's Malaysia, that area, and it's similar to opiate. I have, long story short, I have spinal stenosis where my spine bends in on my sciatic nerve, and my legs go numb after being on them for about 10, 20 minutes, I have to sit down. I can't
Oh,
use
so
my
it's like
legs.
a pain relief. Is that what it is?
Yes, it is, but not anymore. It doesn't really relieve my pain anymore. However, it helps me sleep and keeps my mental health and gives me an appetite. And like my mother, for instance, she's going through chemo right now, and she's on like seven different medications as well. And she has been. Anybody over the age of 50 in our country is on like an average of like five to six different medications. And
Wow.
and my back's getting worse and worse, but I refuse to, long story short, it runs in my family, bad backs. My brother got a surgery and they nicked his spine and he had to learn how to walk again. And I just, ever since then, I got freaked out, so I started looking up black market, back surgeries, and I come to find out Germany's, the most renowned, and it's like $10,000 for back surgery, the stay, everything. That's cheap because here, if you don't have insurance, that's going to be like $150,000 easy.
Oh,
And
God.
it's insane. I'm serious. I call it a nation on medication. Like it's the United States of addiction. Like it's insane. Our heroin and meth. And I mean, they're start. Okay. What Kratom came about because, it's getting people off heroin, which I never did heroin. I've done plenty of other drugs, which you can listen to other podcasts to find out, but it's getting a lot of people. I mean, record numbers. Well, they're starting to make it illegal in certain states. Indiana is one of them that I toured in, and they didn't have it, which is it's a Schedule A drug over Malaysia and those places. Because I won't lie, it will fuck you up just like a pain pill if you don't take it the right way. And yes, I used to love doing all that, but when my daughter was born, all that stuff, flew out the window. I mean, for Christ's sakes, I just had my own wine released and I took a sip of it, because I don't drink. But it's bad. So I refused to to partake in Western medicine. At this point, I eat edibles, marijuana edibles. I try not to smoke pot that much because it makes me paranoid. But I have very, very bad mental health issues. I got episodes of it. I do benefit shows for it. I suffered, multiple family members have killed themselves, multiple friends. It's crazy here. It really is. It's wild. It really, like, if you go to a pharmacy, you're gonna wait in line for like 10 minutes. It's insane. 10, 20 minutes because everybody's getting their medications. Everybody. It's like zombies, like zombified. I don't, is it like that there?
Like, I don't think it's quite as bad, and I say that with respect, of course.
Oh yeah, I'm a
The
dick.
way,
I'm an asshole.
no, like, I mean, the way that the health system works here, because I know that one of the things I have a lot of American colleagues and a lot of American clients and stuff, and I love the States. I've always wanted to move to LA since I was a teenager, and I've been there twice now, and I love it. I did this amazing road trip actually in 2018 with my boyfriend, where we went from San Francisco to Yosemite and down through California and
Oh, see, you saw
through
all the
like
pretty stuff,
Phoenix.
and you
Yeah,
did. Well,
I want
you
to do
went to
the
San
East Coast
Francisco,
next
though.
time.
You
Yeah.
liked San Francisco?
Look, I didn't. And the
I
only
was gonna
reason,
say, don't lie, don't lie.
no, I'm not gonna lie. Like, there were some parts which were nice, but for me, I didn't like San Francisco because I was very, I think it was probably culture shock. There was a lot of homeless people there. And I
Oh.
know it's even like LA and everything like that, but we just don't have that here in Australia. And I don't mean to sound like a I'm not being like, oh, we don't have homeless people. Of course we've got homeless people, but like not in the abundance and drugged out and doing drugs right in front of you. And I wasn't staying in the what's the area in San Fran where you're
The
not
Bay
supposed to
Area.
go. Like, I don't know, there's a...
Tent cities, and then there's Skid Rows. That's every major city here. Every major city here has hundreds, if not thousands, of homeless. Every
Like, we
major
didn't...
city, even small cities.
Yeah, and I was just very, very confronted, and I think, like, I'm sure if I lived there, I wouldn't be quite as confronted. Things are normalized, I suppose. I traveled in a lot of
Breaks my
third
heart when I
world.
see it.
Yeah, exactly. And I've done a lot of, because we're quite close to Asia. So I've been in most countries in Asia, and I've got friends that live in Southeast Asia and more of the developing sort of areas. And so
Right.
I it just, that's what it reminds me of. And so I didn't like San Francisco because it was just very, very confronting. And it was the first place that I visited, and I didn't know, I don't know if I felt in danger personally, but it was very, yeah, it was just very, very confronting. So yeah, I didn't like it. I loved LA though, and I know that there was, the same problem in LA. However,
Oh, yeah.
I do have, I don't know, I feel like I was maybe from LA in another life, like from like West Hollywood or something like that, because immediately I was there for about a week and a half, and then a couple of days on the back end of the latest trip, and I just felt like home. Like, it was so weird just waking up, and it reminds me of Sydney, like the weather and everything like that. And it was more suburban than I thought as well. And yeah, something about LA just like felt like
It's
home to me.
well, because majority of, like, probably, like, especially where you are, they're accepting, right? There's a huge, huge LGBTQ population out there. In fact, that's
Yeah.
like San Francisco is known as, like, the for lack of a better term, the capital. That's what everybody says, for, again, lack of a better term. And forgive me, the artist I work with, that, correct me when I'm wrong after you listen to this. But it's gotten so bad, like the HIV and stuff, and it's not addressed. But over there, it's very accepting. California is the trend center of the entire world. Like you say, we influence you. No, California does, because California influences us, and that's where the skinny jeans came from, and the colored hair, and the lip rings, and the punk attitude, and the, you know what I mean? Like, it all came from there, because I was like the last settled place in America, outside of Hawaii, which is an island, out in the middle of nowhere. And I think that has a lot to do with it. I think a lot of that has to do too, and which why America's such a shithole is, it's there's just so many different cultures and religions. And again, I love it all. I have no problem with any of that. However, when when there's no set, like when there's no there's favorites, right? You know, like there's favorite religions that the government have, and there's favorite cultures the government have, you know. And I'm sure you've heard about, you know, the riots and stuff like that, you know, when George Floyd was murdered by a policeman. And that happens so much here. Like black people are murdered at a rapid rate by police officers that you would think something would be done. And it isn't. And that's just like America as a whole. Now, when you get into bigger cities, even Cleveland, which is close to me, shout out Cleveland, they're very accepting because typically that's where a lot of people, the outcasts end up being because it's accepting because there's so much to do there. Like, you know, America's such a metropolis, and these cities that they're, you know, there's red light districts, there's casinos, there's, you know, strip clubs, there's everything you can imagine. So every city is pretty, I mean, for the most part, I mean, you'll find some down in Texas and stuff that aren't like that and whatnot, but America's you know, Marc Ribier, do you know who that is?
No.
Ribier, Marc Ribier. He's like the one of the biggest artists in the world right now. You need to check him out. He just headlined Lollapalooza, actually. He is a freestyle like musician where he'll go up and he'll just like loop stuff and, you know, play whatever. And he said it best. He said, America's one big fucking fucked up giant experiment. And that's what we are. And that's exactly what we are. I mean, there are no other countries like us, you know. Again, back to the, you know, cultures and religions, and they're like, oh, it's the melting pot and stuff, you know. And it is beautiful in a way. However, it doesn't, like, they don't get along, you know. Like, it's like Christians don't like the Muslims, the Muslims don't like Christians, Christians don't like the Catholic, you know what I mean? And it goes deeper and deeper, and then it goes down into now it's changing with our generation because, you know, like I'm raising my baby girl, like, you know, that none of that matters, right? A person's a person. I don't care what they are, you know, as long as they're a good person, then they're a good person. It doesn't matter. Now, however, I was raised differently. And not so much by my mother, but my stepfather, who's extremely racist. And that's normal here, you know? So that's what, you know, it's funny. I had a friend of mine from Egypt, in fact. He was like, man, I want to come to America. I was like, no, you don't, dude. I was like, don't come here. Go to Canada, you know, because such a falsehood on this country. And I've had a disdain for it since I was probably like 13 years old, to be honest with you. Live here for a few years. And I'm telling you, would see it, like how bad they treat. Like, it's bad. It really is. Like our prison industry, like we have more people in prison than the rest of the country combined, like in their prisons. Now tell me, you know, like it's just I'm gonna stop rambling about it. But I'm letting you know, like from my standpoint, that's how I see America, and that's how like 70 to 80% of the people, I would have to say, because we've grown up and actually seen it for what it is. We at least 70 to 80% of the people that I'm around and associate with, they think the same exact way I do because they see it, you know. So, but it is changing. However, it is, you know, they say it takes one person to make a change, and it's slowly, slowly changing, you know. Which is nice. You know, back to the whole woman thing, you know, it's bad here in America, but it's changing. You know, now women are CEOs and mayors, and, you know, we're looking, you know, almost had a woman president, and, you know, it's things are finally starting to change a little bit, you know, because we, you know, whatever it is, maybe it was we have compassion, we were raised differently on different things, but like I can't agree with how, you know, my stepfather thought at all, because it's just wrong to me. And that's how a lot of people my age think, you know. So it's finally changing.
Yeah,
Thank
it's
God.
really cool to see the younger generations. And do you know what? I've been educated so much by TikTok. Like, I
Yes,
know, like,
yes.
obviously, like, the internet, you can't believe everything, but there is so many woke legends on TikTok in the younger
Legends.
generations, like, 10 years younger than us, who are campaigning and not afraid to speak their mind and everything. And it's like the bands that I coach, like who are younger as well, are just incredibly inclusive with gender and with like sexual orientation and
Yep.
race and everything, and like body type and just like just so many. I don't know. Like, I just think it is just getting better and better. And that's
Well,
because of the efforts that everyone has put in, as hard as it has been. It does have a ripple, it does work, it does have a ripple down effect when you do campaign for equality.
right? Well, like even my band, it's funny. I posted last night, look for a bassist, and person hit me up, and I says to him, because their profile picture was like an anime, and I says to him, not that I care, but out of curiosity, are you a girl or boy? You know, just out of curiosity, you know, and curiosity killed the cat. And they said they're non-binary. And I was like, okay, well, we practice this time, y'all, come on, try out, you know. And I didn't think twice about it, you know. And I think that I don't understand what that is. I don't get it, but that's fine. I don't need to. It's not about me understanding it or getting it. And I'm learning and I'm educating myself more and more on it. It's about me accepting that even if I don't agree with something or whatever, that does not mean that I need to treat them any differently. You know, just because this person voted for that person and that person voted for that person doesn't mean I need to treat them any differently than how I would treat anybody else. And that's a problem here in America. You know, like if somebody votes for somebody, you know, it's off with their head, you know, and it's like me, I try to understand why they did, you know. And I think it's becoming more of that because there's more conversations happening, you know.
Yeah, and I
Like
think
this
just
one.
like respecting that everyone's allowed to have an opinion, and that's just what democracy
Yes.
is. So it's like, yeah, we don't agree, but that's like, it's fine. You know what I mean? Like that's just how it works. And you can waste a lot of your energy like trying to convince someone to vote your way or to do things your way or to, to agree with you over a certain thing. But at the end of the day, like that's just wasted. We only have such a limited time here on earth. Like to me, it's just bizarre. Like now, obviously campaigning for equality and doing the things like through the BLM movement is very, very important. And we need to speak out about injustice. But in
Right.
terms
I
of
wouldn't even call
like,
that political, though. Not to interrupt you. I wouldn't even call
well,
that
no,
political, though.
human rights, obviously. Yeah. Like obviously if
Yeah.
it's like a human rights issue, then yes, we need to be doing better and educating ourselves and trying to push other people. But if it's like trivial shit, like I see so many people on Facebook arguing about Spotify royalties, and it's just like, dude.
Oh, dude, well, did you liked my comment, didn't
Oh
you?
my God, yes, you did post that. Like,
Yeah,
you know
because
what I
I'm
mean? It's
it's
like,
like, okay, well
why?
then go play on the sidewalk, motherfucker. Like you ungrateful. Well, I'm gonna shut up because I'll get pissed because that shit really I wish I would have had Spotify when I was like back in the MySpace days, because MySpace was not
Same. Oh my God, absolutely. And the thing is, and I feel like the people that were commenting on your post on that post were pretty like they would probably have the same mindset as us, but like in Australia there are so many boomer musicians in those Facebook forums being like, this is my Spotify royalty check for like 3 cents or whatever. And I'm like, well, that's because you aren't marketing your band. You're treating it like a hobby. That's because you have no fans. So if you have fans and you're marketing properly and you're using Spotify to your advantage, it's like you can get angry that the game exists, or you can learn the rules and use them to your advantage. Because I know plenty of people who are making thousands of dollars through Spotify, and it's so easy. It's we I mean we're not a very big band, and we're quite happy with our Spotify payments.
Here, we'll give a free tip out to everybody. Guess what, guys? Just get your listeners up, and guess what you can do? You can then go to guitar companies. You can go to shirt companies and say, "Hey, we have this many monthly listeners. Would you like to sponsor us?"
Yeah.
There's a real simple tip for the people that want to complain about not making money. Okay, well, okay, not making money now. Now, well, let's talk about listeners here. You know, and even if you didn't get paid, I didn't. Listen, my band had over a million plays on MySpace. Over a million. We didn't get a fucking cent. I never saw
Yeah,
a
that's
cent.
right. Oh my gosh, I never even
Like,
thought of that.
never saw a
No one
cent.
was
Like, I never.
complaining. No one was
No, I was
complaining
happy.
back
I was
then.
pumped. I was pumped. You know
Yeah.
why? We levered chords. That's how bands got signed. Like, that's how the Devil
Yeah.
Wears Prada, you know, like, that's how you set yourself above, was by setting place. And still to this day, when I try to get, you know, advertisements or, you know, sponsors for a certain, like, you know, company, they're like, well, what are your Spotify numbers like? They don't, you know, or how many monthly listeners, or I'll throw that at them, you know. And it's just like with any social media platform, it's all about numbers, unfortunately. And it is what it is. And unfortunately, you can buy those numbers. Like even my podcast here, right? I don't do the whole Instagram, Twitter bullshit. Even though I have like 800 followers on Instagram, that I just started it not too long ago, like 6, 7, maybe 8 months ago. However, my plays on, I can average upwards of 1,000 and plays easy. And that's without me like promoting the shit out of it. It also depends on the guest I have too. And that for, you know, some guy that, you know, just has a phone and a pair of earbuds. I mean, you know, it's mind-blowing how selfish and how like ungrateful they are. Like, it's like, okay, take it off then go put it on Reverb Nation. You know, like,
See how many how many
yeah, see
fans
how
you
many
get from
AR
that.
reps. Yeah, see how many AR reps are in your inbox, you know?
But I think people are getting more and more savvy with that stuff as well. It is very, I've come across a couple of bands recently, and I have a background in digital marketing, so it's probably easier for me to spot, but I think most people can probably are probably attuned to it as well. You know, there's bands that I've come across that have hundreds of thousands of plays on Spotify, but they have no one commenting on their social media. So either, I mean, clearly they're paying for ads to, you know, places that are cheap to advertise to get those numbers up, and no one's converting to an actual fan. Yeah, so it's
Yep.
like, is that
I
even
have to
working?
confess.
Can you
I'm
sell tickets?
confessing
That's
right now.
really, yeah.
Right. No, from a booker standpoint and shit, that's exactly what it is to me. Like this one band had 10,000 follow or likes on Facebook. I was like, okay. I was like, well, and they asked for X amount of dollars. So I says to them, I said, okay, here's what we're gonna do. We'll just say they asked for $500, right? Okay. I sell my tickets typically at $5 a piece unless it's a bigger band. I was like, all right, we'll even go up to 10. If you bring me 50 people, that means you made 500. I'll give you another 500. If not, you owe me 500. They're like, we're not doing that. And I was like, well, why not? You have 10,000 followers, you know? I'll confess though, last night I tested something and I spent 99 cents, literally, which I don't know would be like, oh, probably like a,
1.50.
yeah. On to get to see if A this worked and B how effective it will be for YouTube to get a YouTube plays. I think it was 345 YouTube plays or some shit for 99
Yeah,
cents or whatever. Well, just to see, you know, if it would work, because I'm not gonna lie to you, if let's say there's something coming through town that I see that's big. And again, this is shitty and I shouldn't even say this, but that would be probably the only platform I would ever do something like that on. Is YouTube. I wouldn't want to be, because YouTube is such a large, and I'm not encouraging this behavior at all. However, sometimes you have to, like, it sucks, man, because nowadays it's such a number world, you know? And it's like, well, how do we get our numbers up organically that high if they're buying them? I mean, you can't, unfortunately, you just can't. I mean, it's so hard to keep up with that. Now, you'll last longer than that band, but that band, it might discourage, I've seen it discourage so many artists that they quit. In fact, shout out to Flowstorm if he listens to this, man. We had a whole CD coming out, and since he wasn't getting the plays he thought he should be getting because he saw all these other people that were paying for their plays, he's just done. And it's a shame, man. It's a super
well,
shame.
you're allowed to do ads. Here's the thing. You're allowed to do advertising. That's not cheating. I mean, we've all, the music
Oh,
industry,
you
I
have to
mean,
on Facebook too. You have to use
yeah,
ads.
our Facebook ads, I won't even go into it, but our Facebook ads is blocked at the moment because Facebook is a dick.
Yeah, it
but
is. Oh,
anyway,
it is.
so we actually, our campaign is like zero Facebook ads. So I think we did like pretty well if you go look at the stats for everything. But we did like one Spotify ad. We did spent like $150, which is like 100 US on YouTube ads. And they like the purpose of ads is to get is to pique people's interest and get people in your
Yeah.
target
You're targeting.
demographic.
Yep. You're targeting your demographic. That's what I was about to say. It's not like you're sitting there
Yeah.
getting a bunch of random names and stuff. You know, I've called several people out that on Instagram,
And
especially.
You would know that the only thing that people in the industry, labels and bookers and everything, they only care about, okay, how many butts in seats can you get to the show and how many records can you sell, like physicals? So that's the only tangible way to figure out how much the band is worth because it is a business and you are taking a percentage from the bands that you're booking. So if they bring no one to the show, then it's just a poor business decision on, you know, unfortunately for you.
That's yeah. That's
Likewise
why I
with
went into hip hop,
managers.
honestly.
Yeah,
That's why I went into hip hop
exactly.
because it's they're all the rage and the bands around here just weren't pulling them. What, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but when my band quit around here, it kind of just fell apart. There was another band after us. They were kind of like our little protege. They were in high school when we were, peaking. And their first CD almost sounds just like our CD, which is flattering. I love it. It's great. But Letters to a Liar, shout out Tyler, love you. They were coming up. Well, they have a whole album out right now. They got Famous Last Words, JT on it. It was produced by Ice Nine Kills. Since this COVID shit happened, I don't. They've had an album almost sitting there for 2 years. So what I'm getting at is like the scene here from bands is just it's non-existent. It really is, unless you're deathcore for some reason around here. But that only goes so far. You know what I mean? You can only gain so many fans playing that style of music. And it's sad. It's heartbreaking. Somebody asked me, why don't you book bands anymore? And I was like, because man, I have a daughter. Like, I didn't choose hip hop. Trust me, hip hop chose me. It's funny, my artist Flames, because I am the dorkiest and for lack of a better term, whitest white dude you'll ever meet, right? I got my mustache twist up. I'm very proper, and I don't really use slang, and I'm very generic. We'll say that, right? And when it comes in the terms of size of sleeve and stuff, but you know what I mean. As far as like, especially out in personality, he looks at me, he's like, man, I'm gonna bring the gangster out of you. That's what he said to me when he looked at me. And I said to him, I was like, I don't know about that, dude. Well, it's kind of becoming true. This is it. This is my home. This is my home. I found my home. And it's crazy. 15 years into metal, right? And nothing. Well, not you know what I mean. You know what I mean, though. I no living, like not making a living, not even like I would say a year into hip hop, and this is the best I've ever done in my entire life. You know, and it's crazy. It's crazy. Well, you know why? And I'll shut up and let you talk. I went the extra mile, and bands, you should do this too. Whatever it may be, I got a camera, a Fujifilm camera. And I started taking pictures and started taking live videos and then started making little live visuals. I would take the memory card, put it on my computer, email it to my phone, and I would do it on my phone on an app called UCut because there's no watermark. And a couple people saw it and they were like, dude, can you do that for me? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Well, then now I use, I have an editor, but long story short, doing that now just by filming these hip-hop, because hip-hop's all about imagery. So metal bands, hear this, if just go take some cameras to hip-hop shows, I'm dead serious, go make a video of the most popular person that's there for free, put it up, like something cool, and I promise your inbox will be flooded instantly. It's just like graphic art. I learned how to do that myself too, because there's money in that. And that goes, we won't get into that. And you know that because you're a coach. Like, you can't just rely on your music to make money. You have to have other hustles, or like, a clothing company, or maybe you're in the stocks or something. You can't just rely on music unless you're like Ask Alexandria. It's too damn hard.
Well, there's ways to do it. Like, you have to just leverage other skills. Like, for example, I'm a coach and
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Or yeah, stuff like that. So exactly, it's like people expecting to get a full-time income just from their royalties. I mean, you can from touring for sure.
Oh yeah, if you play out, absolutely, merchandise and stuff, for sure.
But it will take a couple of years till you can build that up, till you're pulling the right numbers that you're not just reinvesting. So
right, and you're going to need something behind you, because you got to get a trailer, a van, you got to print that merch, you got to eat every day, and I put all those numbers together, and it really sucks. And here talking about it, it's kind of depressing. Like, I realized all that. I'm like, dude, I'm never going to make it doing this. Like, there's no way. Like, not unless I get like rich or something, I was in metal. I was in metalcore, right? And again, back to longevity. Look at Devil Wears Prada. They sound like 21 Pilots. And that, like, those are my boys. Shout out Mike. Mike, their harmonica, their vocalist, like, he almost stepped back and plays rhythm guitar. Now Jeremy DePoister comes up and sings now. And I get it. I get it. Because that's all they got. That's all those boys got. Well, now they started a podcast. Now Mike has his own coffee, things like that. But, and I tell this all the time. I'm like, you're going to have to conform. I call it butt rock, like radio rock. I call it butt rock. You got to be a butt rock band like Seether, Shinedown, something like that. That's going to be radio friendly to masses, not just one group of people. It's very, very hard. Like, Born of Osiris is a rarity. You don't see many Born of Osirises. who's being, but that's because they're on a brilliant label too, Sumerian Records. But I try to tell bands that all the time, do not expect to make a living out of this, you know. And correct me if I'm wrong, because you're a coach. I always tell them to don't tour during weekdays. Like, unless it is absolutely 100% worth it, just do little weekend runs, like a Friday,
Yeah.
Saturday. Come back home until you build up that crowd. Like, stop doing this Monday, Tuesday, well, we're on tour. Oh, that's great. Will you be on tour next year? No, because you won't be a band, you know. And I made that mistake many of times, you know, playing for two people on a Tuesday night driving 4 hours away, you
Well,
know.
there's no, like, I mean, a lot of bands are still under the impression that the more you play, the more like
Oh,
success
I
you'll
hate
have.
it. I
But
hate
no,
it.
you'll just end up wearing out and oversaturating your own market. So there's
Yep.
like, you got to separate your ego and pretending to be a rock star from actually having the business smarts to lead to having success with your business.
Right. And that's why it's awesome. There's people like you and me. You're way more in depth and you're way more educated on it than I am. I'm more rough around the edges about it, right? You know, I'm just like more street about it. You know,
That's okay. I'm a self-taught marketer. I never went to school for marketing. I went to school for music. So this is all self-taught. I like just took jobs that were I was unqualified for and then just made sure that I used Google University to find the skills. It's fine.
Right. You know, well, growing up, my mother and father had a marketing company, McMarketing Group. So it kind of is just
Oh,
in my blood, I
cool.
guess. Yeah, and my
Yeah,
mother,
they do.
she has her own company. She does bookkeeping and taxes. So, and my father was a psychologist. So it was
Oh,
it, there.
nice.
It right. So all entrepreneurs, right? You know, all people that worked for. So I kind of learned that, you know, and I'm very analytical. And I break everything down, you know. Like, I'm booking a tour right now, a 7 date tour, literally just 7 dates. All weekend dates except for one is Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving here in America. That's the biggest bar night of the year, way bigger than New Year's. And I'm breaking down the analytics. I'm seeing how many miles it's going to take. Okay, if we have this many people, if we get this many people to buy onto it, et cetera, et cetera. Back tomorrow, I have a meeting with Sony Music. They sponsored our last tour, so like, I'm doing all these things that literally took me all day up until now, right now. Like, I literally put it down to talk with you. Like, that's the thing. And the problem is, a lot of bands don't have the money to hire them. So what would you suggest a band that doesn't have money to hire someone like you or whatever? What would you suggest them do? Like,
Well,
watch you.
yeah. I mean, this is the gap in the market that I saw, which is why I started my business. So to give like your listeners some background, I was a music journalist, and most recently the editor of Maniacs, which is
Okay.
a Warner Music publication. So which is obviously one of the biggest labels in the
Oh,
world. So,
yeah. If not, yeah. If
but
not, meaningless.
it wasn't until I started my career as a journalist, purely because I just wanted to wake up every day and work in the music industry. Finally, I've achieved that this year, which is rad. It wasn't until I worked as a journalist that I really saw the business side of the industry. So I'm trying to be this bridge, but I'm also a musician and an artist through and through. Like, to me, the art is the most important thing, and to most people in the industry, it is, I would say, despite what I thought. And I'm trying to be this bridge gap between the artist side and the industry side for especially heavy bands. That's like kind of my niche. So where I would start is this: there's a lot more free resources out there now than there was. I would start by listening to podcasts. There's my podcast, which is the Being in a Band podcast. There's also the C Squared podcast, I Am Northbound podcast, which I think your listeners would really like. There's a
I can link
few.
these below too, which I'm going to put all your
Yeah.
links and all that stuff, you know, in the description. And
Yeah.
the podcast is available on every major platform. Just type it in from the Stash Podcast. You'll find it everywhere.
Yeah,
But go
cool.
ahead.
And
Go ahead.
another free resource, which I'll just like shamelessly plug, is just because we're talking about
No,
Spotify.
that's what we're doing. That's what you're here for. Plug away.
I've got a Spotify playlist cheat sheet, which is free. So you just download it at monicastrutt.com/Spotify. And that's going to teach you about all the playlists. And it's not
I'm
about.
gonna write that down. I need to learn that. I'm writing this down.
Yeah,
Watch.
it's not just
What
about
an
getting.
interviewer. What a professional interviewer, you
I
know.
can
Hey,
send it to you
hold on a
after.
second. I need to. No, I don't claim to be a professional. I don't want to be honest. Hold on. Hold on. I enjoy talking to different people. Like, how else would I ever get a chance to talk to someone like you all the way in Australia, especially right like
Yeah,
during this. All right,
that's
hold
why
on here. Hold on.
I love my podcast for that as well.
Okay, what is this Spotify? What's
Yeah,
the information? What is it? What's the information?
monicastrutt.com/Spotify.
Monica. stratstrat.com/spotify. And don't feel free to advertise in the Ohio music scene. All I ask is that you just do it like once a day. Feel free to, because a lot of these artists, see, I have a history, right, where I fucked up in the past, shit like that, blah, blah. Long story short, not 98, not love me, right? But then there's those 2% that don't. What I'm getting at is, they need another, because a lot of people, especially now that I'm in the rap, these bands need help because I'm done with them. I just don't, I don't have the time. I don't, I just simply don't. And it is what it is. I'm sorry. I hate to say that. It's just the truth. I've had a couple bands reach out for me to manage them. And I said, sorry guys, it's just not worth it for me. The money just isn't there. But someone like you, I'm going to use this right here. Hell, I'll plug you myself, but feel free to, do that, because there's not any of that around here. You're making me think though. You're really like, I want to thank McAlpine Meadery for sponsoring this episode of From the Stash Podcast, located at 10035 Johnsford Road, Beach City, Ohio, 44608. Phone number 330-756-5019. Again, 330-756-5019. They take passion in brewing high-quality European-style artisan honey wine known as mead. It's available in 87 retail stores. It's also available in 36 different states to your front door. You can order online at www.mcalpinemead.com. Again, that's www.mcalpinemead.com. Hours of operation, Wednesday 4 to 10, Friday 4 to 12, Saturday 12 to 12, bands Fridays and Saturday nights. Thanks again to McAlpine Meadery for sponsoring this episode of From the Stash Podcast. Now on to the show, folks. Light bulbs have gone off. Like, holy shit.
That's why I do consulting. This. That's
like,
why
I could do this.
Yeah, you could totally do it, because as a consultant, obviously you get an upfront payment, but my and like, that's obviously a great business model, and then I send the bands on their way, and I'm not relying on commission or whatever.
So what do I owe you? What do I owe you?
But like, the thing is, why I'm so passionate about this is because I'm a musician and I want to teach a band to fish. That is my whole thing. I want to give you guys the skills to actually be self-managed, so you're not giving away 10%. Yes, it's like a fee to like learn all the shit now, but like, the stuff that I'm teaching is going to serve you for life. And I was lucky enough to have a mentor and be on the other side of things when my old band was coming up, and it completely changed my life. It completely, I had no idea about the modern music industry before I worked with them, who happened to be a manager himself. And he just changed my whole band's trajectory. And so that's what I want to do for bands, is I want to educate them, because I have a 3-year bachelor's degree in music and the music industry, but that taught me shit about how the music industry actually works. So all of this is like from my own experience as a journalist and also as a digital marketer in my day job, and also as a musician, who's built up my bands to certain points. And, we're playing our first major festivals and stuff next year. So yeah.
I mean, I've been in it 17 years, I say 18 cause it sounds better, and it's almost 18 here in September. It will be 18. I played my first show. I think it was like September. So I forget, but anyways, you're right. And that's why I try to tell people too, someone like you, you're one in a million. And I'm not tooting my horn. Someone like me is too, because typically if someone like you or I has been in this long, they're not going to be in it this long. Cause I can tell you what, right now, I can't name another person that's been in it as long as me. I have in my scene. There isn't a single one left that I started with or was with. So the information, just the raw talking to someone like you or I, somebody who's been in veterans. I mean, we got to be considered like, the boomers of the industry in a way. The grandparents per se, it's invaluable information. And I just really wish, what I found out about bands too, I don't like at all. They're so anymore, and it wasn't like this when I was coming up. Competitive, like the amount of just snakiness, the amount of like, it used to be back in the day, it was like show for show, and yeah, these are my bros. And now it's just like everybody just wants to talk shit about everybody, or at least that's how it is here. I don't know what it's like in Australia, But that's how it is here.
It's pretty supportive here, I think, just because our scene is so small. Like, we're a large country. We're almost the size of America, but we only have 20 million people in the whole country, or 25, 26 million people, actually. So, yeah, our music scene's like pretty small. So, it's pretty supportive, to be honest. But also, that could just be me and my, like, I can sometimes be naive
I
to
can
that.
believe that.
I choose not to engage with anyone that I don't get a good vibe from, and
Same.
those people don't, because the scene is so small, those people don't last long. So that's the
Say
thing, like,
it louder. Say it louder for people. That's what I try to explain to people. Like, don't waste your. And in that post, I said that. I was like, I do not waste my time. And I know I did not sense on negative energy or toxicity. I just
well,
don't.
it's the same as the modeling industry as well. It's like, because of the internet and because of social media, everyone can get their name out there. So yes, it can be perceived as somewhat more competitive, and that's why there's no room to be a rock star anymore, because no one wants to work. There's a million other bands that they could work with, who are nice, who would be grateful for the opportunity, and who would just make it fun. Because as we're saying, there isn't a lot of money in the music industry in the heavy scene, at least at first. There can be. I truly believe that. I'm trying to redefine like the starving artist mentality, to be honest. But because there isn't a lot of money, why the fuck would people do it if they're not having fun? So that means choosing people to work alongside that they resonate with and that they vibe with, and who's going to make their lives more enjoyable, because that's the only reason why we're doing it. So yeah, there's no reason to be a rock star. So I hope
Well,
that yeah, that makes
you're
sense.
so right, and it's what it almost it's kind of the opposite in the hip hop scene because it's so convoluted and it's so polluted and there's so everybody's a rapper, like everybody's brother and sister and grandma's a rapper here, and because it's so easily accessible, you go on YouTube, get a beat, and you can rap. Well, this is what I tell people that want to come. I'm like, if you want to be a rapper, I don't have time for you, but if you want to be a business, I do, because I start artist development. I start from the ground up. Well, I don't anymore. Now I'm really only messing with artists that are kind of, or have an idea. But I, it's about imagery. Hip hop is so much about imagery, and it's like it's like phases. It's almost like a Pokemon, like evolving in a way, because like you start out as this tough, rough, tough guy. I don't want to use the other word. The Well, I'll say it. The gangster mentality, is glorified, right? At first, then what happens is they slowly start to evolve, or if they don't evolve, but if as they slowly start to evolve, you start to see them get out of that. And then they start to become a little bit more of a mainstream type of artist, and then it becomes almost full-fledged mainstream. If you're not, manufactured like Drake and people like that, and I try to explain to these guys, I'm like, listen, name me one top 50 Billboard charting rap gangster rapper, like, and they can't do it for me, and it's not me being mean or me being. However, it's the way it is now. Like, that's just the way the industry works. Unfortunately, here in America with hip hop, well, not unfortunately, because I think it's a good thing that that's not glorified as much anymore. But you got Post Malone, you got Drake, you have Lil Nas X, all the top rappers, they're not like that at all. They're very, radio friendly. They're, different. And that's, I'm finally getting through to one of my artists. I won't mention the name. That dude, your singing is amazing. It's so good. Do it. Like, stop being afraid to do it. He's like, what should I do, pop or rap? I was like, both. You do both. Don't limit yourself. Do both. But it's so important to develop an image. And I mean, it is in metal too. But the thing with rap is, again, there's so many of them. It's like, geez Louise. I mean, I've just this year from touring and stuff, I can guarantee you, and I'm not exaggerating, I've probably seen, worked with, and booked probably close to 500. Just in what, let's see, we're in the 8th month. I'm going in the 9th month this year. Oh, easily, yeah. Because the tour was 15 days. Oh, we had almost 20 artists on each show. Yeah. So I've worked, okay, we'll say 300. We'll say 300, and I'm sure it was more than that. That have been in my inbox, oh, well, way more than that. And it's crazy. And that's just from like this area, right? We're talking like 150-mile radius, which I don't, kilometers, that's probably close to 200. And it's just mind-numbing. So you have to separate yourself from them. And what's funny is it's like they're all not robots. What is it like when you're the same cookie cutter? Like they all are like, what I mean? It's like separate yourself from them. And And that's, you know, where I come from with the business, you know, because they're like, well, I want to make a living out of this. And I'm like, well, then you need to separate yourself. You got to create a brand, you know, like you need a brand, you know, like it's a bad example because he's so big, but like Kanye, you know, or like Drake, you know, like you have to be a brand anymore in rap. You can't make it just on your music. It is not going to happen. It's just not. It's just how it goes. It's just how the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, that's such a different scene to to
It
the
is.
hemp scene.
Listen, I never did it. I know, trust me, I'm learning it. I'm just now like I'm learning it and I'm seeing, you know, because I'm studying, right? You know, I'm doing my due diligence, right? You know, I'm studying mainstream. I can't stand mainstream, but I'm studying it. You know, I do love Post Malone. I'm not gonna lie. I like Post Malone a lot. And I kind of have a little secret. God, I'm gonna get roasted for this. I kind of like some of 6ix9ine's songs. I'm gonna get shit for this, but I kind of like some of his songs. I think that's it, mainstream. But there's, you know, it's. I mean, that's our number one genre. Like, it's everything. Everything is hip hop here. Like, literally everything. Everywhere you go, everybody. It's hip hop. That's it. Like, you know, I'll tell you a quick story, and I'm gonna shut the hell up and wind this here shortly. I'm gonna let you talk some more and wind it. I had a woman reach out to me. I had a mother reach out to me in the Ohio music scene and say, "Hey, my 12-year-old son is looking. He's a drummer. He's looking for a band." And I says, "Ma'am, I'm sorry." And she said, "Like, none of his friends play instruments. Nobody." I was like, "Ma'am, I'm sorry. He's gonna have to find some like." 20-year-olds, because there is no teenagers playing instruments anymore, and it's just a sad fact. It's just the truth. It's just the
Oh my
truth here. That's
God.
just how it is.
Yeah.
I'm not lying. You literally, you can ask anybody. You know, like it's crazy. It's changing, and it's sad. And I feel like I should do something about it. It's just like I have a kid now and stuff, and I cannot dedicate that much time into that. However, I did start a new band, and you know, hopefully I can influence that way, maybe. I don't know. It's not going to be anything serious, you know. I only want to play every once in a great while. I'm doing it because I love music. I love making, and it's not even going to be heavy either. It kind of is, but it's not. Like I'm done screaming. I'm over it, you know. I want to sing, you know, and hopefully that can inspire again because a lot of people do. I'm using big air quotes here. Look up to me, or know who I am and think that I'm something I'm not. They think I'm like Puff Daddy or something, and I'm not at all. And that goes back to imagery too. But so hopefully, and it's sad, and it really is. And you can ask anybody, and if they say different, they're lying. They're straight up lying because I cannot tell you outside of like death metal when there's been a metal show. Like the last time there's been a metalcore show around here, I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you. It's been a couple of years probably, like in my like immediate area. And there used to be one every week and tons of them. And it's crazy. And I think that comes with the digital society. Ocean's 8 Alaska wrote a song called Honcha about it, where we're just stuck on our phones. I mean, I am, you know, so it's instant gratification type of world. And a guitar is hard to learn. Drums are hard to learn, you know. And so it's like, how do we battle that here? See where you guys are from. I don't know. I know you got bands like D's Nuts who influences the hip hop scene, but do you have any hip hop scene there at all?
Yeah, of course we do. Yeah, we
I'm
do.
sorry for my ignorance. I just don't know. Like I've never done any research and I've never heard of much like
Yeah.
that.
I mean, it's not as big as the States, but it's still like most of our like top 40 is in the hip hop or electronic or pop genres, probably like everywhere in the world, I would say. Or maybe not Sweden. But I don't know. But yeah, we've got like our own like brand of Australian hip hop, where people rap obviously in the Aussie accent, and it's like, how Australian can you sound? And
Dude, I need to hear you should suggest someone that you like. If you like, I don't know if you like that type of music or someone you think that's good that I should check out.
I'll send you some names after. There's some really
Yes.
cool like First Nations Australian rappers that are coming up as well, which is really cool. And they're really getting the spotlight as well, which is really nice. But yeah, I'll send you some links, because yeah, it's definitely not my genre, so I'm gonna have to hit up my boyfriend to be like, hey,
It's
what
not
should I
mine either,
send?
trust me. But you know it's
I
funny, that's all
mean,
my playlist is. I have a few metal songs. Like I got your guys's. I have Ocean's 8 Alaska and oh God, I don't even know. Shreshers. Have you ever heard of Shreshers? They're from like Russia.
no,
Yeah.
no.
You should check them out. They got
Actually,
a
I do know
saxophonist.
one. You got to look up the one that comes to mind is JK47, and he's an
I feel like I've heard that.
indigenous rapper. Yeah, he's really, really good. And he actually performs in like his his native
Tongue?
like ceremonial paint as well. Yeah,
Oh,
yeah,
big fit in here, big time.
it's really, really cool. So yeah, he's getting huge at the moment, and
Well,
well
I write for an
deserved
online
as well.
magazine. I write for like an online, well, it's more of an e-zine blog. I do like an artist of the week,
Oh,
on there,
cool.
or an artist on the rise
Yeah.
is what I call it. So, you know, there's no boundaries with that. But I want to wrap this up for the simple sheer fact we're an hour and 20 minutes, and I have a habit of just going and going because I can do that. And this is something I need to learn. And I appreciate you dealing my manicness and my random bouts of bitching and shit, because that was something I had trouble with last season, and I was getting better at towards the end, and I knew I was gonna fuck it up with this time. But you see, someone like you, I get excited when I talk to someone like you, because I don't really talk to many people like you know. There's again, that's it's a rare breed, you know. So it's exciting, you know. It is. It's cool to be able to bounce, you know, ideas off somebody who understands them, and not only understands them, is educated in them, you know. And which I'd like to talk to you more about, because I think there's a couple bands around here that I might want to you know, introduce you to help. But I'm trying to think here. If there's anything else like important that I want to ask you, I don't think so. I know there was one thing. It was about a band. I can't remember. Oh no, it wasn't Feeder to the Sharks. It's a different one. Ah, shit. It's an Australian band. They're they came back out not too long ago, and then they stopped again. And I can't remember their name for the life of me. And this is really gonna bug me, because I wanted to ask if you like knew them or whatever. Oh man, I can't remember. I really can't. It's not Feeder to the Sharks. It's like that though. It's a band like that. But I don't know, man. That's my brain running off two brain cells. With this ending though, is there anything final you want to say? I will link all your anything you want down in the you know, description. Just let me know. This will come out my time, 5 p.m. So that'll be your time, 5 a.m. Wait, no, wait. What time is it there now? It's
is not, it's 10 a.m. almost.
okay, so it's 10 a.m. and it's 8 p.m. here. So 2 hours, and it'd be so five. So it'd be 7 a.m. Yeah, it'd be 7 a.m. It'll come out your time, 7 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, cool.
But if there's anything last thing you want to say, go for it.
Yeah, well, I'm currently accepting applications to work with both bands and music industry professionals who want to grow their business. So I have different packages. As I said, I mainly work with like bands or solo artists in the alternative genres. So that's like rock, metal, pop punk, indie, like anything sort of like that kind of related, not so much hip hop or electronic or pop because the journey looks slightly different. So yeah, I am accepting applications for bands to work with at the moment. And also I've recently gone into business coaching because in April I took my business full time after I used 2020 to grow it to where I was getting paid more for my business than my day job. So I'm really, really
Well,
proud of that. So
congratulations.
thank you. I've been working really, really hard for the past
Two
few
decades
years. I mean,
almost.
yeah, exactly. So and I'm so against like capitalism in the 40-hour work week, and there's
Oh, me
nothing
too.
more fulfilling for a creative than just being able to wake up every day and create and have conversations with people on the other side of the world, such as today with yourself. It really brings me so much joy. And as we're talking about over Messenger before we started, I don't wake up early for anything else aside from to chat to chat on like
That's all.
podcasts. Or
Yeah,
like,
see, I'm up anyway. I'm up early because of my child, but I didn't used to be. That's why
yeah.
I was like, I felt bad. I'm like, oh man, we could have done it later. You could have said, no, that's too early.
No, oh, absolutely. It's totally fine because now I'll have a productive day now that I've gotten up early. I've been sleeping in too much, but yeah, I work with a lot of bands from the States, as well. So, yeah, I would love to hear from you if you're interested in that. Obviously, yeah, our meetings will be your evenings or afternoons and my mornings. So yeah, if you're in a business or looking to get into the music industry, and if you want to create a life where you wake up and create every day as well, maybe to support your band or your music endeavors, or just because you love it, then yeah, hit me up. I'm doing business coaching too.
Well, I'm not even gonna lie. I'm considering myself, you know, just be, you know, first and foremost, and I'm not gonna make this long. There's something that I've learned about myself, like whether, and I've never been a Mr. Know-it-all, but you can always learn more from other people, you know, especially yeah. someone that's educated like you. So I appreciate you, you know, just coming on here and talking, and I did learn a lot, and I'm going to check you out further, like the Spotify list, and I really do appreciate your time, and hopefully we can do this again. And like I said, I'm going to put all of Monica's links in the description. You can check her out. I'll also have her band, Last Martyr, down there. And thank you guys for listening to From the Stash Podcast. I'm James Davis McAllister, and I'm out.
Thank you.